Imagine being a part of a large group of people, all with differing points of view, socioeconomic beliefs, and backgrounds. Now, imagine you are asked to discuss a variety of issues, such as economy, the environment, and immigration. In September of 2019, a total of 526 registered American voters were brought together to discuss important issues that impact all of us. Participants were respectful, addressed each talking point more objectively, and simply approached these issues as individuals who are being impacted by them daily. These are the voices of America in one room.
I don't want to go back to feeling ignorant or feeling that I'm not able to speak to this at all.
I've never talked to anybody who was staring down poverty.
When you come in and you're so angry and so negative, nothing good can come from that.
Walked into a room with a bunch of people who didn't share my opinion and didn't come from anywhere near the same place.
Welcome to Voices of America in One Room. My name is Alice. I'm the Associate Director at the Center for Deliberative Democracy at Stanford University. In this episode of Voices of America in One Room, we sit down with Ebony, an accountant and mother of two. She's also a notary public, a tax preparer, and a licensed life insurance agent. Basically, if it has to do with finance, Ebony is involved with it in some way. Additionally, Ebony is also a published author. We began our conversation by asking Ebony why she agreed to participate in the America in One Room experience.
I agreed because I had always, I like politics and things like that. So when the lady came to my door, when I even got into the AmeriSpeak thing, she came to the door and talked about it. So I've been a part of it for like over a year. And so when I went through the one of the surveys, it asked if I had an opportunity, would I do it? And so, just kind of clicking through, I was like, oh, yeah, they're not going to contact me. And then you all did, you contacted me. And again, I didn't think it was legit. I was like, they're not going to pay for all this. Like, this is a scam. I don't believe it. But I ended up calling the lady. I think her name was Terry or somebody. It was really legit. And so that's how I ended up there.
Like many participants, it's funny that Ebony considered the possibility of America in One Room being a scam. Looking forward to our next thought-provoking event series. That's definitely something we'll keep in mind when recruiting participants. A year and a half removed from the experience, I asked Ebony what America in One Room was like and how it's impacted her to this day. Here's our conversation.
The experience was kind of like a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Again, I was already kind of into the politics, but it opened my mind broader. It gave me a different perspective and to allow other people to come in with different views, and we can agree to disagree on topics. So from the gate, getting there, the place where we stayed, it was amazing. I had never even been to Texas before. So it was like really nice. The whole thing was fun and liberating, and I would do it again. And what I took away from it now, watching the news more, because like in the beginning, sometimes we may don't pay attention to things if we feel it doesn't directly affect us, like immigration or something. Well, that don't really, to me, have nothing to do with me. So, when we were able to be there and talk about different topics, then I was able to get a different perspective. And everything affects us, in the long run, it will affect us. And so it just now makes me be more aware. It's like I live on CNN now, like I'm always into the news, seeing what's going on, even down with the election, just different processes that I didn't know and weren't aware of. I'm now more aware and I care more. I hate to say like I didn't care before, but it's like now it's my awareness is more like heightened.
Right. Do you find yourself, I know you just mentioned CNN, but do you find yourself like looking at different sources of information? Are you more concentrated on maybe certain issues or topics or regions?
Yeah, I look at now, like even the newspaper, I'm on different news outlets, even with, you know, the coronavirus, like CDC, never pay attention to looking on the website for that. You know, so just different things now, I just try to make myself more aware. So I'm in the know of what's going on, you know, and then if somebody says something, I'm like, no, I don't even know what you're talking about. Now, if somebody says something, you know, oh, yeah, I did read that or I did see that. I know, you know what I'm saying? So it just makes me more aware. So different news outlets and different websites and stuff. Now I research more and pay more attention.
Over the course of this time since the event, have you talked to your friends about it or family? And what has been their reaction been like?
About my my experience with you. So I told everybody about it even before I went. I was so excited. And so we definitely talked about it. And then I actually did, I have a high presence on social media. And so I would go live and tell them about the different topics we're going to talk about daily and get their feedback. And was it any questions they wanted me to ask? So I talked about it a lot. I was very intrigued by what was going on. So yeah, I talked to anybody who was listening about it. Yeah, but I definitely went to social media and talked to
So I just want to clarify. So you were doing like, you were going live while you were in Dallas during the event. Yes. And getting people's, that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted them to kind of be involved in it as well. And even like my church members, before I went, I would ask them different topics. I'm like, what questions would you want me to ask or whatever? And so then when I got there, we were able to get the agenda, what was going on. That's when I went to social media, like every morning, whatever the topic was. And then we talk about it and then they would give, you know, their feedback on it. So.
This is the first instance of us hearing about one of our participants crowdsourcing talking points for use during the America in One Room event. Whereas the focus on social media during this interview series has been less positive, it's interesting that here we have a different perspective of how social media can be used to bring viewpoints together and form more of a collective consciousness. I was curious about the volume of feedback Ebony was able to accumulate through her social media efforts and her general attitude towards social media.
Yeah, I have a lot of followers and stuff. So yeah, they commented and gave different scenarios and different questions and things for me to ask. And so I was able to do that when we were in our rooms.
So, that is so interesting. How did you feed back the information to them in terms of what was discussed or were they surprised?
When I got back to my room, I took notes. I love taking notes. So they gave us like these little notepads or whatever. And so I wrote down everything that I thought was of importance. And so when I got back to my room, after I would eat, then I would do a live basically talking about giving them a rundown of like, you know, the day and what we had and what was going on. So that's what I did. So it was fun for me, you know? So I was like, this is what we're doing. And then, you know, I fed off their energy because they were intrigued because I was there, you know? And so we were able to feed off each other's energy. So it was good.
That is amazing. You know, while I'm on the topic of social media, and as you just noted, you have a strong presence on social media. I would love your opinion and your thoughts on how social media has been used or its impact right now in terms of the current politics in the country or the current issues that we're facing. Obviously, the way you're describing it right now and your ability to engage your followers in the event, and that is so positive and so amazing. To be able to engage people that aren't physically there and very empowering. And I wonder what you think of how social media is being used in ways that may not be as empowering.
Yeah, social media, I tell people, it's what you make it, because it can be good and it can be bad. Everybody doesn't use it for good. Some people use it for slander, to bash people, whatever the case. Even if you try to do something good, everybody is not going to agree with it. So they're going to look for a way to tear it down. But for me, social media is very good with, especially if you have a presence, of getting the word out there for whatever it is you're trying to do. When you have followers and that people that, you know, watch and listen, and they're on your follow you, your, you know, first, your every mark, it's easy to, you know, to have good feedback. You know, so for me, it's been a good thing. Again, I try to always be positive and spread, like, you're not going to find anything negative on my page, because that's just not who I am. But it could be a twofold thing, because, you know, it could be good. Just like the thing with the, everybody to call her the Gorilla Glue Girl, but her name's Tessica. So once she has a name, but something that was a mistake, I mean, now she's known all over. You know what I'm saying? For something that was a split second. So even though she took to social media for help, because I've been like this for a month, let me ask somebody should be able to know how to help me. So even though she meant it for good, people want to use it and say, oh, she wanted attention. And why? Well, who would purposely put something in their hair for attention, knowing the damage that it can cause? The chemical damage it can cause to your head. Like, I don't think nobody in their right mind would say, I'm going to go on here just to go viral and mess myself up. Like, no, you're really in pain. You know what I'm saying? And it took 12 hours to get it out. And she had to, you know, so just different stuff like that. How our intent for something can go another way, because all it takes is one negative and then people just run with it.
Next, we discuss any advice Ebony has for people as they come across negativity in life, whether through social media or even in person.
Like, I can only go by how I am. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. I tell people everybody's accountable for their own actions. So, you know, even if you said something negative, one, I just try to keep an open mind and be optimistic about certain things. So, you know, I like to use the analogy, 2 + 6 = 8, and so is 5 + 3. So just because we may get to the same answer a different way doesn't mean that my way of thinking is wrong. Neither is your way of thinking wrong. You know, so I try to look at it. Well, if you are being negative, well, then I might ask you, well, why do you feel so strongly about this? Or can I give you a different analogy? And maybe if you think about it this way, can you understand maybe where this person is coming from? When it comes to the negative, I still just try to turn it around, because I try to, if I can, put myself in that person's shoe, you know what I'm saying? To be like, well, she feels this way because maybe it may have internally affected her, but we'll find out why. Because there's a reason everybody does something. It's a reason behind it. And by me being a life coach, I try to just assess and go deeper into the mind, opposed to just being surface. Oh, they're just like that. Well, nobody isn't just like that. It's a reason they became that way. You know, so that's how I try to, you know, have my take on it.
That is extremely thoughtful to put it that way. And which brings me to my next question about discussions that you had in your group. So how was your group able to maintain that civility? Like, how were you able to?
Our moderator, he was really good. And so he allowed us to have our moments, but we still were respectful of everybody. So, you know, again, we talked about immigration, and then we really got into it with the minimum wage hike. That was like a big thing, because people had small businesses, and you know, we were saying the pros and cons. So it didn't necessarily get heated with me because I was listening and writing. But for a few of the gentlemen, they were kind of going back and forth. And so he gave them their moment to say what they had to say. But even you can be heated and still be, you know, respectful. And so we had a good moderator.
Now, not everyone is going to have a moderator in their lives and have that ability to engage and do it that way. And what would be your advice if people engage in discussions where there are those that have different views from them? how do we have a civil conversation without yelling at each other?
Again, if I was a moderator and I had to be in his shoe, what I would address to, you know, the room is to have an open mind, you know, have an open mind, because everybody is from different areas, different walks of life. So everybody is not going to view a certain topic how you view it. But I would say, if you listen to understand instead of listening to reply, because if you're listening to reply, you're not really understanding where I'm coming from because you're just ready to respond. But if you have an open mind and you listen to understand and what a person is saying, then you know what, even though, yeah, I didn't look at it that way. That's normally what it is. I didn't think about it like that. Somebody told me something. We were talking about a show. I don't know if you ever watched the show A Different World. And on the show, it was a scene that Whitley and Dwayne were going back and forth. But anyway, she was getting ready to marry someone else. And so the thing about it was, it took for somebody else to view and want to be with her before you realize, oh, I'm about to lose her. But you had her. And so you got ready to lose her. And then you want to come and disrupt the wedding. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, everybody, you just, it's just crazy, but you have to keep an open mind. And I would just tell any group to just listen and listen to understand and just be optimistic about what's going on, because we all can agree to disagree.
Listen to understand and not to reply is perhaps the phrase that best characterizes what the America in One Room experience was all about. It's a great distinction between what we should be doing when listening to others versus what we're actually doing. With that in mind, I wanted to hear more from Ebony regarding any disagreements that may have been had during the discussion. I wanted to know how comfortable people seem to be sharing their personal experiences and being more vulnerable.
Because we just had a very diverse group of people, we have old to young. I think everybody, you know, we came in, he gave us the instructions, and we were ready. You know what I'm saying? Like our group, we were ready. So nobody was silent. Like he gave everybody an opportunity who wanted to speak to say something. Like we went around the room. And so even if you felt like you didn't want to, well, we still gonna come back to you. So think of something, you know what I'm saying? Because you have some type of opinion and we want to hear it, you know? So everybody was, he had everybody to say something. So whether you wanted to or not, because you can give an opinion, you know? So it was, yeah. So, but we were ready. We were ready.
Were there some moments that you, or heated moments or emotional moments, or just, were there some moments that were, that stood out to you, particularly from the discussions that you had with your group?
Not offhand, I can't think of what the topics were, but yeah, we did have different emotions going on. It wasn't just rah, rah, rah. You know what I'm saying? They did have some where people were crying. I think we had watched a video or something, but I can't remember what the topic was about. But yeah, it was different things going on. But I know the big thing was the minimum wage that we really like horned in on. So that and the immigration was like the two biggest things that I can think of that I know that we really, you know, talked about a lot.
What was the struggle on the minimum wage?
Because if you are used to making, you know, right now, I think Florida is like $7.25. So to take that, which Biden is now trying to do now, to try to take that and automatically increase it to $15, a lot of people who are barely hanging on to their small business would literally close, because if I bring you from $7.25 to $15 in 30 days, and now I have to increase everything I have going on so I can be able to try to pay you, or else I'm not going to be working and you're not going to be either. So that was the takeaway with people who for me, I'm a business owner, but it's me. Okay. But if I was in a business where I had employees and I'm paying you 10, so everything is conducive to the $10, my budget. So now I have to try to rearrange a budget because I have to obey the laws of the land. And it says, I need to give you $15 or else a robot is going to do it. You know, that was the big thing we were going back and forth, because some people in different states, they say Arkansas or whatever, may be smaller in business. And they say, hey, well, this $750 is about all I can afford, you know, $8, $15 is going to kill me. It's not going to work. So we really were going back and forth with the pros and cons. Yes, I feel California, different ones, they're making $16, $17. Their cost of living is higher than it would be in Arkansas. So that's where the thing was, the cost of living versus, you know, versus $15 could put somebody out of business, opposed to, well, I really can only afford at this moment to give you $8 or $9 or whatever. So that was the big thing with that.
After going through this experience of highs and lows with others, I asked Ebony if she was still in contact with anyone from her group and wanted to get her thoughts on how we can keep the America in One Room experience going. She also gives her advice on how people can initiate the conversation and move us toward a more thoughtful approach in how we interact with each other.
Do you stay in touch with your group by any chance? Or do
yes,
you...
actually, we have like everybody, we always keep in touch, like maybe monthly. I would say somebody will say something, hey, how it's going? You know, when COVID came, you know, we were checking on each other, seeing how people were doing. If anything you all had put out, if it was on Snapchat or whatever, we would send a link and just kind of keep everybody in the know of what's going on. So yes, we keep in contact still.
That's so wonderful to hear. You know, not everyone can experience America in One Room. You know, we're working really hard to try to figure out ways to have another event. And even then, it may not be face-to-face. It's probably going to be online. We would love to be able to have more people experience what you experienced. Besides us trying to make it happen, I wonder what advice you would have for people that are listening today. If they can't experience something like America in One Room, what would you say they should try to do?
If they're passionate about a certain topic or whatever, I feel like everybody has a voice and you can make a difference in your own region. So you could get together with a group of people and have a discussion on different things. So you don't have to have 500 people. In a room, you can have 10 people. You can have 5 people. Like you said, you can get on a Zoom, have 100 people and have a discussion about certain things, because that's something that I think I would do. If I'm passionate about something, hey, I'll give y'all this meet and code, jump on. We're going to talk about different things going on in the world and just listen and get people's ideas and opinion on what's going on and give feedback. And you can always take stuff like that to the city councilman, the city hall, you know, and different things like that. To I'm very big on like volunteering and different stuff like that. And so I'm always listening and watching the news to find ways that I can be a help, you know, to the community. So it's always something that we can do. If you can't get to Texas, it's okay, because you can do whatever you're going to do. You know, I tell people a lot of times people want to get to the nations, but you can reach your zip code, get in your city first, and then you can go abroad, you know, so get known into in your city and make a difference there.
I like that a lot. I'm going to challenge you a little bit more here too. You know, I hear from people, oftentimes they may feel that they may not have a lot of knowledge in certain issues, or maybe they aren't really passionate about getting into politics. Maybe they feel like their voice doesn't really matter. What would you say they should think? Obviously, if they heard that, they're listening to you and listening to this podcast, and maybe they have some interest, but they don't really know what to do from there.
I used to be that person. So yeah. I used to feel like it don't matter. Anybody listen to what I, you know, got to say, whatever. I've tried to think of it in another way, because I know how I am. So I know that I can get on a phone call. Like I say, I can go live and I can talk. But for somebody who is not, I always tell people to first start by just researching a topic that everybody's passionate about something. So find something that you're passionate about, do your research, and bring somebody else into discussion. It takes two people to have a discussion. I can call you and say such and such and such, and you may feel a certain type of way, and you say, oh, you know what? Me and Todd was just talking about this. So now you got three people. You see what I'm saying? And so Todd, you get three. So now we're on a conference call. You know what I'm saying? So we're all talking about this. And so, hey, such and such and such, think about this. So listen, what do y'all think about if we got together one day, you know, on Zoom or on the phone or whatever, and we come together and talk about this and see how we can change this or make a difference in on this topic right here. We have the power to change a lot of things if we open our mouth, you know. So the thing is, they say, what, closed mouth don't get fed. So if you don't, if I don't tell you I'm hungry, you're not a mind reader, you won't know I'm hungry. But if I say, I come to you, I'll be like, dang, I'm hungry, or you're cooking, or do you have $5? I want to get something to eat. You don't know if I don't tell you, because I don't look like I'm hungry, but I am. You know what I'm saying? Just because a person is driving a Mercedes, they could be on E. You see what I'm saying? But we don't know. You don't know unless you talk to a person. So if I'm passionate about something and I want to get somebody else's opinion on it, then I have to open my mouth and talk about it. So that's what I would say.
Oh, I love that. You always, you have such wonderful nuggets, like such really concise, like usable advice and thoughts. I loved it. If you close your mouth, closed mouths don't get fed.
They don't. If you don't say what you need, how am I supposed to know? You need your light bill paid. Well, if you don't tell nobody, I can have the money to help you. You don't say nothing, I don't know that your light's about to be cut off. You have to say something to somebody. If you need help, you have to ask for it.
We closed with any final thoughts Ebony might have for our listeners. Here's what she offered up.
I would just say, for anybody who's listening and who, again, just wants to make a difference, or, you know, don't know where to get started, I tell people you can always go to the local office, again, a city hall or wherever. Even if you email, you know, email or just try to reach out, whatever. Don't ever think that you're not smart enough, or you don't, you know, like your voice doesn't matter, because whatever, again, that you're passionate about, you should be able to talk to somebody about it. So I would just say, do your research, talk to somebody, because if it's something you're passionate about, whoever I need to try to get in contact with that I know that can assist me, because it's somebody always higher than you, you know, get out there and do it and make a difference. Like I say, whether it's sending an email to, you know, your local office downtown, going wherever, whatever the, you know, your issue is, you know, talk to somebody about it, find out who you can connect with, and get it done. What did they say? Each one, reach one, teach one. So just take one and just keep going. You know what I'm saying? So it's you just have to open your mouth. That's what I would say. Just open your mouth. Don't be scared. Again, it's your opinion. And if you feel strong about it, you might find somebody else who feels strong about it as well. You know, but again, don't just be so closed off. Write your thoughts down and, you know, let somebody else know, hey, this is on my mind. This is something I want to do. I would give another piece of information. I'm always looking to invest into things. And so I'm looking at investing into a vending machine, right? I don't know anything about vending machines. I see a couple people, but hey, I saw somebody with a vending machine. So what am I going to do? I'm going to reach out to that person and say, who did you reach out to get this so I can get that information? You know what I'm saying? But I can Google and research, how do I get a vending machine? You know, the market I need to reach. And then because I opened my mouth, a friend of mine was like, hey, I'm a trucker. We don't have a vending machine at our place. So when you get it, I'm going to tell my terminal manager and you can put a vending machine in there. You see what I'm saying? But if I didn't open my mouth to say that, I really, and then my friend owns a barbershop, it can go inside of there. They don't have a vending machine. So all they waiting on me is to get the vending machine and I could put it in there. So the money is sitting there. You know what I'm saying? For me, I just have to make the move. But if I keep my mouth shut, I'm not going to make a difference for my own self, you know, for my own gain. So I would just say the same thing. If you see somebody they're doing something, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to become, if I want to do what you all are doing, hey, I'm going to ask you later on, how did you get into that? I'm interested in this. I tell you, the worst anybody can say is no. And nothing beats a failure but a try. So you won't know if you don't say anything, you know. So that would be my takeaway.
Thank you, Ebony, so much for joining us today. I learned so much. I'm sure our listeners have learned. I'm pretty certain that some of them are going to reach out to you for more words of wisdom. And I'm really appreciative of your time. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
From the Center for Deliberative Democracy at Stanford University, Helena, NORC at the University of Chicago, and By the People Productions, this has been Episode 7 of Voices of America in One Room. If you like our series, please consider giving us a 5-star review and be sure to tell your friends to subscribe. This podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Voices of America in One Room is hosted by me, Alice Hugh. To learn more about me, you can find me on the Center for Deliberative Democracy's website. Voices of America in One Room is produced by Jared Sanders and Scott Simpson. Our audio engineer and sound engineer is Josh Williams. This series is executive produced by the Center for Deliberative Democracy at Stanford University and Tobey Agency.